Chapter 1. Bolton scowled at the telegram in his hand. Judging by the date, it had been waiting for him here in Wyoming for a while. He resisted the urge to crumple it up and pretend he never saw it. He hated being summoned like some sort of errand boy, almost as much as he hated being reminded by Crawford that he owed the man a favor. Several, in fact. Trust the old man to call in his marker now of all times. Right when Bolton was knee-deep in an undercover operation. He'd been called in to locate and stop a band of thieves before they started using a set of printing plates stolen from the Department of Treasury to print their own supply of currency. So far, he'd learned the crooks involved were small-time and not very bright, even if they had been lucky enough to avoid the Secret Service. Of course, Bolton had resources the service didn't. The higher-ups knew it and availed themselves of Bolton's services from time to time after they'd exhausted all other avenues. The weakest link in the thieves' gang was Gavin, whose heels Bolton had been dogging for weeks now, trying to figure out what game the little weasel was playing. The other gang members barely tolerated him. All Bolton could figure was that Gavin had something over them, or something they wanted. He shoved the telegram deep into his pocket and picked up the easy trail of his target. Gavin was acting nervous, which he had every right to be. Not very subtle, the way he kept glancing over his shoulder, but Bolton was skilled at moving around undetected. Right now, it appeared Gavin was heading for the train station. Lila nodded her hands in her lap as the train car vibrated beneath her, carrying her away from the only home she'd ever known. It felt like she'd been on the train forever, and just when she thought they'd never arrive, the conductor called her stop. She gulped. Suddenly, it felt too soon. She hadn't finished her latest prayer that Mr. Gavin, soon to become her husband, would be a nice man. A kind gentleman who appreciated her homemaking skills. At any rate, the die had been cast. There was no chance of returning to her life in Chicago with her stepsisters. The pair would be shocked to learn she had left, and no doubt mildly inconvenienced when faced with finding someone else to fetch and carry and clean for them. The whistle sounded. As the train slowed to a stop, Lila stood as tall as her petite 5-foot frame would allow. She picked up a shabby valise, which contained her few meager articles of clothing, along with her one prized possession, a silver hairbrush and mirror set that had belonged to her mother. Overhearing the sisters' plan to sell the set to pay for their new gowns had prompted her to correspond with the stranger. Surely, a man seeking a God-fearing woman to travel west and marry him would make an agreeable husband. A short time after posting the letter, she had received a third-class train ticket to Wyoming and a heavy silver key, which Mr. Gavin referred to as a symbol of his sincerity. He requested she not let it out of her sight, but return it to him in person. She patted her breastbone through her coarse traveling jacket, reassured by the key's heavy weight on a piece of twine around her neck. Then she stepped forward into her new life. The station's platform was bustling with activity, as folks called and shouted, pushing and shoving in all directions. Once again, she rued her short stature, for it was impossible to see over the heads of those around her. A roughly dressed, bandy-legged man pushed his way impatiently through the crowd. Spotting her, he gave a shifty, side-eyed look around. "Miss Saunders?"